want you to turn to Judges chapter 6, because everything that's going on, God just keeps setting us up, man. Thank you, gentlemen. Judges chapter 6, I want you to go to verse 33. We've been talking about the God of the impossible for a couple months now. God has been speaking to us about going back to the old stories. And, you know, we know that God wants to do a new thing. He is doing a new thing. I mean, He is doing a new thing. But in the old stories, there's powerful promises and things that God did that when we look at them, we can see that He did it back then, He'll do it here. Amen? So He gave me a word this week, and I'm so excited. It's called the Sword of Gideon. Now, I may not make it to that verse because there's so much in right here that He's given me this week. But I believe God's going to really speak to us this morning. I want you to go to Judges chapter, I think I said 6. Yeah, chapter 6, verse 33. Tommy, thank you guys for the worship, man. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for flowing. Verse 33, it says this: all the Midianites and Amalekites gathered their armies together. Other tribes from the east joined them. All of them went across the Jordan River. They camped in the valley of Jezreel. Now remember, for 7 years, all these armies have been coming. For 7 years, they've been coming. They've been coming to the same place, and they've been attacking them. They've been taking everything they have. But this time's going to be a little bit different. Oh, Lord. Some of you, the devil, y'all listen to me. Some of you, the devil's been attacking you and attacking you and attacking you the same way. The same. Y'all need to get this, because this ain't. Y'all need to get this. Sometimes the devil attacks you the same way, the same way, the same way, the same way. And God's saying, today, you said you wanted me to burn that out. You said you wanted my spirit. So the next time he comes to attack you, this is what's going to happen. Then the spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. How much fitting is that? Then the spirit of the Lord came upon Matt. Then the spirit of the Lord came upon Scott. Then the spirit of the Lord came upon JC. Come on, y'all. I just don't see how y'all can just not get excited. I'm going to cut cartwheels up here to you. That's a word from God. You keep getting attacked and attacked and attacked, and the devil's eating your lunch every time the same way. He uses the same strategies, the same tricks for 7 years. The same thing happens, but this time God found him a man that's redoubtable. I'm going to keep using that word till Jesus comes back. That's my favorite word, redoubtable. I'm redoubtable. You're redoubtable. God showed Gideon is redoubtable. For those of you that are visiting, yes, I'm fired up. I've been fired up. But I'm going to tell you, redoubtable means that you are to be greatly feared. You're a mighty warrior of God. And if you're a Christian, that's who you are. Some of you don't know it. I've been yelling it and screaming it, and some of you still ain't got it yet, but you're going to. You're either going to get it or you're going to get mad and leave. Amen. Probably done had some leave. That's all right. You get to heaven, the worship's going to be long, and it's going to be strong, and it's going to be good. And you ain't going to be able to leave. Hallelujah. Then the spirit of, this is what we need, man. This is what we need, is the spirit. We need Holy Ghost-filled people. Sometimes Holy Ghost-filled people act weird. Amen? Sometimes they act different. They don't do things. They don't cross every I and dot every T the way you think they should. Sometimes Holy Ghost-filled people, I'm going to use Anita's voice. This is just kind of me. Undignified. David was undignified. He danced naked before the Lord. He had a little loincloth on, I'm sure. I threatened the worship team the other day. I was going to wear a dang. I mean, some people. I threatened them, told them I was going to wear it. They want me to get undignified. I'm going to wear a long cloth and preach in it, but I'm not going to do that. And everybody said, I'll do it just to make y'all mad. Listen to me. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. So Gideon blew the trumpet. He blew the shofar. Gideon blew the trumpet to send for the men of Abiezer. He told them to follow him. He sent messengers all through Manasseh, the territory. He called for the men of Manasseh to fight. What have we been talking about? Time to fight. This world is trying to take the church down. They're trying to take Christians down. They're trying to take morals down. The churches are trying to do that. It's time to fight. Hallelujah. He also sent messages to the men of Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. So all those men went up to join the others. Hallelujah. Gideon said to God, "You promised you would use me to save Israel. Please do something for me." I love these couple verses. Listen, put yourself in his shoes. He's called you to fight this army that you can't even number. The camels they have, you can't even number. We'll go over that in a little while. But he sees them. He's watched them all 7 years come down and kick their tail, take everything they got. So he knows what he's up against. And the Lord's done told him. He's done showed him by a burnt offering. We're talking about offering, a burnt offering. He done showed him about the burnt offering when he lapped up the meat and the sacrifice that he had. He saw that, but he says, "Lord, please do something for me. I'll put a piece of wool on a threshing floor." He put out a fleece. Y'all have ever heard somebody putting out a fleece? Okay, y'all scared me. A fleece means that you're asking God to do something. Now, a lot of times, people will put a fleece out that they know is going to get answered. Like, if I know my wife's going to call me at 4 o'clock, I say, "Lord, let Glenda call me at 4 o'clock. She does, I'm supposed to buy that new gun." Or, "Lord, if my husband says this or that or does this or that," and your husband does it every single time, if he puts his shoes right here, maybe he puts his shoes there every single time. If my husband puts my shoes right there, I know I'm supposed to go buy me a new pair of shoes. No, listen, Gideon did a fleece that only God could answer. And if you want really to be serious with God, put a fleece out there that only God can answer. God had already spoke to him and said, "I'm going to use you to save Israel. He said he done told him that. But Gideon's like, "Hang on, Lord, it's getting real now. I done blowed the trumpet. I done blowed the shofar and people's come in. I'm telling them it's time to fight. And Lord, I'm just a little bit scared." He said, "Listen, I'm going to put a fleece of wool out on the threshing floor. Suppose dew is only on the wool tomorrow morning. And suppose the ground all around it is dry, then I will know that you will use me to save Israel. I know that you have promised this. Your promise will come true." So he's going to take his piece of fleece. He's going to put it on the threshing floor. And he's saying, "Lord, I want this fleece to be wet, but I want all around it to be dry. Only God can do that." Right? Somebody say amen. And that's what happened. Gideon got up early in the morning the next day. He squeezed the dew out of the wool. The water, listen, filled up a whole bowl. Some of y'all need to at least act excited. If you act a little bit excited, I'll get more excited. He squeezed it out and filled up a whole bowl. And then listen to this. This is us, man. This is us. Wait a minute. I'm going to go. He said, "Then Gideon said to God, 'Don't be angry with me.'" How many times y'all ever, God told you to do something, and you'll call this person, call it, or do this and do this, and then the Lord's answering it all the time, and you say, "Oh, don't get mad, but one more time. Gideon ain't no different than all of us. He's not. I don't care how spiritually mature you are. There's some things that you just need a couple confirmations. We shouldn't, but we do, because why? We pinch yourself. If that hurts a little bit, then you're in the flesh. Now, yeah, I know we're spiritual and we walk in the spirit. But I'm just telling you, that old flesh will sneak up on you and say, "Did you really hear from God? Are you sure God said that?" Like me down here, I'm praying, "God, tell me what to do. You know I'll do it. Tell me what to do." I need to come get some in my ear, and I'm thinking, "Okay, is that what you really meant, or did you mean this?" And then Jerry comes up, "Oh, forget it. I'm done." Why are we like that? Well, it's okay to get confirmation. It's okay to put a fleece out. So Gideon put this fleece out. Let me go back over. It says that he said, "Lord, don't get mad at me. Don't get angry at me. But let me ask you for just one more thing." Anybody ever done that? "Lord, just one more time." He said, let me use the wool for one more test. But this time, make the wool dry and let the ground be covered with dew. So that night, God did it. Everybody say, God did it. If you have to make the fleece come to pass, God didn't do it. Okay? Whole nother series, whole nother lesson. But if you got to make the fleece come to pass, God didn't do it. You did it. Amen? It says, only the wool was dry. The ground all around it was covered with dew. I want you to go to chapter 7. Hallelujah. So I'm ready to receive the word from the Lord. Early in the morning, Jerob Baal, that was his name. They called him after he burnt Asherah and the statues down, and he tore down the idols and altars and everything. They called him that because that word meant that Baal should have to defend himself. Hallelujah. He said this, and all of the men camped at the spring of Harod. Y'all remember that? Harod. I think I pronounced it right. If I'm not, my English majors will let me know after church. No, I'm picking. They just try to help me. Jerob Baal. You know what? I'm going to do sometimes. Sometimes churches will get people to stand over here with the microphone and they read the scriptures for the pastor. I might do that sometime. I'm just kidding. Y'all don't be looking. Listen, it says that they camped by the spring of Harod. Jerob Baal was another name for Gideon. The camp of the Midians, listen, was north of Gideon's camp. It was in the valley near the hill of Moriah. The word Harod means trembling. God always, and the children of Israel always use names to signify. Yeah, I got a new word from Bessemer City. It's called signified. Go look that one up and tell me what it means. No, you better not. It might not mean nothing good. Signify. Boy, I'm glad my wife ain't here. She's watching. Hey, baby, I'm making you proud. To signify what was going on. They waited sometimes 7 to 8 years before they named their children. Some of y'all should have done that. They did. They'd wait 7 to 8 years sometimes just to name their children because they wanted to see their personality, how they acted. Hallelujah. Mine would have probably been changed 3 or 4 times in 8 years. Don't y'all say amen. You'd have done the same thing. No, I'm kidding. But listen, that word meant trembling. And watch what happens. The Lord said to Gideon, I want to hand Midian over to you, but you have too many men for me. He said, you got too many men for me. I'm sure Gideon wanted all the help he can get. Sometimes in the church, we want all the help we can get. But sometimes you don't really want all the help you can get. Oh, help me, Jesus. Listen, you got too many men for me. He said, listen, you got too many men for me to, what's that, my Bible, I'm marking through my Bible. He says, but you have too many men for me to do that. I do not want Israel to brag that their own strength has saved them. So many times you hear people blowing themselves up. There's nothing wrong with giving a testimony, but you better give your testimony and give God all the glory for it, or you just give a testimony that don't amount to a hill of beans. And too many times people brag about what they've done and not what God done. You get in trouble doing that. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Some of y'all think you'd have cast me out. You think you're the best thing since peanut butter. And God says, no, you ain't. You can't even cover a slice of bread. Listen, he says here. He said, I want to hand them over to you, but I don't want the people to be able to brag. He said, my own strength has saved me. So here is what I want you to announce to the army. All those people that come and are at Harod are trembling and scared. He said, tell them, those who tremble, that's crazy. Harad means tremble. And then he says, those who tremble and those who have fear can turn back. They can leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, but 10,000 remained. 22,000 out of 33,000 left. What was the 10,000 thinking? If you knew, listen to me, if you knew that you were going out to fight a battle and you were going to fight an army that you've seen them come in 7 years and they've whooped you 7 years and you got 33,000 men that come down to Harad and they're sitting there and they're trembling, they're afraid, and the Lord tells Gideon, go tell them to go home. Y'all don't get mad at me, but sometimes I just want to look at people and say, just go home. You don't want to be here anyway. You ain't doing nothing but grieving the spirit. Get your jacket if you can't hack it and leave. Oh, some of y'all, this side's a little fire. What's going on with y'all today? Y'all know what sometimes I feel that way. Sometimes I feel like the people come in here and just grieve the spirit. Okay. As come as they may. Pastor Scott, you know what? I'm not talking about the lost people. I'm talking about the people called themselves Christians that come in here with a stinking damp rag all over their head. Jennifer, you're Glenna today, so like if I do this, or Robert, leave her alone. You just do this or whatever you need to do if I start going the wrong way, okay? Hey, Glenna. 22,000 men left. 22,000 out of 33,000 left. The Lord said to Gideon, I imagine Gideon's like tripping right now. Oh, Lord. Y'all arrest the Lord. Do you know what you're doing? Y'all ain't gonna admit that. But boy, I've asked the Lord, are you sure? Like I gotta ask the God of the universe who created everything, are you sure? Now, I might have to ask one of y'all, are you sure? But to ask the God of the universe who spoke everything into existence, that's done so many awesome, wonderful things in my life, I would look at him and say, are you sure, Lord? Come on, how ridiculous does that look? But you know what I thought this morning? Y'all just don't even know how my mind works. I know you're trying to figure it out. Don't, just quit. I was sitting up here praying this morning. It's like the Lord just reminded me of how Jesus did with the disciples. He just hung out with them. I like to hang out with the guys, and I like to go fishing, and I like to go hunt. I like to just hang out and chill out and just talk. We don't have to talk about Jesus 24/7. We always talk about him, but Jesus did that. He just hung out with the guys. And I'm sure many times he sat back and scratched his head and said, oh my goodness. I'm sure he had some John Milburns and J.C. Drurys and Fred Gambles and whoever. I'm sure he had some of them. And he just sat back and said, oh, my goodness. This is awesome. You know that what God's doing in your life right now is awesome? Do you know that what God is doing in your life right now and in your family's life right now is awesome? I could call you out. It's awesome. Well, guess what? When you get that awesomeness from God, it reminds me of some good barbecue sauce. Man, it just slaps all over your lips and you lick it all off. You say, whoa, that was good. There ain't nothing wrong with being in church and saying, whoa, that's good. Is that undignified enough or what else you want me to do? I'm just kidding, but anyway, some of y'all get that later. I love to go back and watch my message because I never know what's going to come out. So if you think I know what's coming out, I don't know. And I love to watch. I sit back and laugh like crazy. I'm sure Anita hears me over there in my office, horse laughing. Somebody come in one day and I was laughing. They knocked on the door and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm listening to some crazy preacher, man. This dude's a trip. They looked at my screen and said, that's you. I said, I know. Hallelujah. He said, the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many. What in the world? 22,000 of them went home. We ain't got but 10 left. Oh, Lord. He said, the Lord said to Gideon, There are 32,000. I'm sorry, 22 and 10 is 32. The Lord said to Gideon, for all you mathematicians out there, the Lord said to Gideon, y'all quit critiquing me and listen. The Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men, so take them down to the water. There I will reduce them. You know, one of the hardest lessons of a pastor to learn is who you're supposed to have and who you ain't. And really, you ain't going to learn that. You just need to let the Lord do it. Because if you worry about everybody that comes and goes, and it's the truth, some's your friends, some you just see or whatever. If you start worrying about everybody that comes and goes instead of letting the Lord worry about it, you're going to go crazy. There's pastors, 2,800 pastors a month resign. And that's probably one of the top reasons. 2,800 pastors worldwide resign every month. I got news for you. I'm hard-headed, I'm stubborn, and I have a call of God on my life. You can't make me resign. He might, but you ain't. Y'all should have been saying, glory, preacher, we want you to stay. No, I'm just kidding. He said, you still got too many. He said, I'm going to reduce them. He said, look, he said, there I will. He said, I want you to take them down to the brook. He said, you got too many people, so take them down to the water. There, I will reduce the number of them for you. If I say this one will go with you, he will go. But if I say, why don't we ever get that? Whatever the Lord says is what we need to do. Well, Lord, if I like what you say, I'll go along with it. If I don't, I'm going to do what I want to do. Oh, I know you ain't going to say that out loud, but he knows your heart. And he knows whether or not you read. Have you ever, come on, don't raise your hand because I'll raise my hand because I tell you I'm the first one probably. But have you ever prayed about something but you knew in the back of your mind what you was already going to do? Y'all a bunch of holier than thou. Y'all ain't never done that. I guess I'm going to hell or something. I don't know. I have thought that before. I'm going to pray about this, but I already know what I'm going to do. Lord, if you don't answer the way I want you to. I didn't say it like that. I was all holy. Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I'll do anything for you. So would you please tell me what you want me to do in this area? And he tells me, I said, that's not what I want to do. Hallelujah. He said, there I'll reduce the number for you. If I say they stay. If I say they go, they go. Listen, it says here, so Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord said unto him, some men would drink the way dogs do. They're going to reach their hand down, get the water. He said, they will lap up the water with their tongues, separate them from those who get down on their knees to drink. So he said, I want someone that's going to go down and get water and lick the water while they're watching. You go down and get on your knees and you stick your head down in the water. Guess what? Somebody come up behind you, boom, like that. He wants somebody that's vigilant, that's watching. Hallelujah. That's why they would put people out on guard. They'd have people that would watch, that would stay awake and be vigilant. Even though they were tired and sleepy, they would stay awake and they'd watch for the enemy. And then when the enemy come, they would blow the shofar and say, hey, they're coming. But if he was asleep, what would happen? They'd come and get attacked and they'd get killed. Oh, my goodness. Some of you wonder why your family's getting tore up. Some of you wonder why everything else is getting tore up. You ain't watching. You're letting the devil come in the side door. Oh, Jesus, help me. Some of you let your kids do everything. Anything they want to do, you let them do it. Anything they want, you get it for them. If you got stuff like Grand Theft Auto in your house, and you got other stuff like that, it's demonic. And you ain't watching. You're on your knees. You ain't lapping up like a dog. You're not watching your family. You're not protecting your family. Well, they'll get mad. Everybody plays with it. Everybody but 300 got down on their knees to drink water. And he sent them home. Only 300 did it the way he wanted them to do it. He went from all those 33,000 people. He went from that to 300 people, what in the world do you think Gideon's thinking now? Lord, are you serious? You see, I believe Gideon was thinking like I'd have been thinking. Did you watch them come down? What do you think? You think after 7 years they're just going to bring about 50 people down? And that's the way we are. That's the way we are. We think we got to have everybody and their brother with us. I had a prison ministry, and the Lord taught me very early. Kathy Smith, I know you do the same thing with Hesed House and all these other ministries you do. The Lord taught me very early, there's a lot of people that's going to bark real loud. Oh, I'm going to help you. I want to go into the prison. I want to go in and tell them about Jesus. Bless God. And then they find out you may have to travel 45 minutes. You may have to wait 30 minutes. And you may not get to preach but to one person. Bless God. And because you ain't got a big old crowd, bless God. You come back and you say, and I've had this happen so many times. Oh, man, you know, the Lord's calling me into something else. No, he ain't. You a stinking liar. And that's what I tell him. You're a liar and the truth is not in you. You don't even know what God's wanting you to do. Don't look at me like that because I'll tell you the same thing. Don't be saying God told me this 1 week and the next week God done changed his mind and sent you to something else. She's not mad at me. She loves me. Everybody looking at her. She ain't mad. Me and her's buddies. Every time I preach and I get in a section like that, somebody walks out and the whole time the devil says, he just made them mad. I wonder what she's mad about. I wonder why she ain't mad. She wants to stand up here and preach with me. God ain't going to tell you this and the next week change his mind. I've had people walk up to me in the sanctuary and outside, me and Glenn are both, and say, the Lord's called us to this church. This is such an answer to prayer. And the next week I'll preach something like I'm preaching today. Well, guess what? The Lord changed his mind. He wants me to go to the first church of the frozen air where they won't step on my toes. Yeah, I said it. And if you're watching and you're still at the first church of the frozen air, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost at the first church and lead them to Jesus. I mean, lead them in a deeper walk. Let's just say that. The Lord spoke to Gideon. He said, with the help of the 300 men who lapped up the water, I will save you. He don't need 32 or 33,000. Don't get mad at me for saying this. I had to tell myself this a long time ago. Because, you know, sometimes when God's moving and things is going good, you tend to stick your chest out a little bit. I learned a long time ago I'm an idiot when I do that. Because every time I stick my chest out and I think I've done something, God's got to come in and knock the mess out of me to get me to stick my chest back in. Do you know that God can do what he wants to do without you? You better be careful how you put things in front of God. You better be careful how you put your kids, your work, your spouse. You better be careful what you put in front of God. Because God can do the work with or without you. Amen. I love New Vision. I love New Vision. I have begged God many times, please don't make me leave. Please don't make me leave. I mean, seriously, because a pastor, he's a liar if he thinks he knows where he's going to be for the rest of his life. That's just not true. You don't never know. God may tell me to go tomorrow. He's not. Hallelujah. But I'm just, you know what I'm saying? But if God told me to leave and he showed me I was supposed to leave and he hadn't, he would bring somebody else in if y'all would listen. And he'd bring somebody else in. And guess what? Just for y'all's benefit, he'd be an English major. And they would, listen, they would stay for about 3 weeks. And they would drive you crazy because they talk so far above your head that you'd be saying, God, get them out. We want another dummy. I'd rather have a man, listen, I'd rather have a man or woman filled with the Holy Ghost that ain't got no book knowledge, and I do have it, and ain't got no common sense, and I do have that, than anybody else. Anybody else. I mean, seriously. Did I pronounce book wrong, Matt, or something? Okay, Matt said he's good. He said, I'm going to use the 300 men. And listen to what they did. They took over the supplies, the trumpets or the shofars. The others had left. All that stuff that they brought for all them people, they got it. Oh, boy. All that stuff that God wants to give to people, guess what? If they don't want it, he'll give it to you. Amen. Some of y'all ain't excited. If I was to stand up here today, I've been trying not to step here because, man, this thing's like holy. I'm like, I'm for real. This is awesome. We may not never move that. If I was to stand up here and tell y'all, man, I got $1,000. Who wants it? Y'all would knock me down. Y'all would do me like the guy at the gate that got killed because he didn't listen to what the man of God said. But I'm sitting here telling you that all of God's promises are true. Everything he said is true. You are redoubtable. You are a mighty man and woman of God. You're all that. And it's like some of you say, well, that's good for somebody. Well, guess what? If you don't want your redoubtable, I'll keep it. I'll take it. Hey, I believe in the kingdom of God. We can be selfish when it comes to the things of God, the gifts of God. Jerry, I don't believe there's nothing wrong with being selfish. I want all of it. And you know what? It's just like if we were sitting here and there's a big old piece of pecan pie there and you said you didn't want your piece. I'm eating your piece, whether my wife likes it or not. Amen? Why can we get that? Why can we see that, hey, I would do that too. You might be real quiet. Some of you are dignified. You need to get undignified. But some of you are dignified. And you say, well, I would eat the piece of pie if nobody else didn't want it. Heck no. If it's something somebody made that's good, I don't care. I'm eating that pie. Amen? And if it's Carolyn, Miss Carolyn's cherry yum yum, get out of my way. No shame in my game. My name's Bennett, and I'm all up in it. All these people missed out on the blessing of God. But it was God's plan. See, sometimes we don't see the big picture. It was God's plan. God didn't need all them people. He didn't need 300, but he wanted to use 300. God don't need all of us, but he wants to use all of us. Some of you sit back, Lord, what'd you have me do? 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 And Holly gets up here every week. We need cleaners. We need this. I mean, come on, man. We make this thing too tough. Some of you want to stand and say, thus saith the Lord God in heaven. And God said, no, man, chill out, dude. I just want you to go out there and wipe somebody behind when they poop. Should I not have said that? I thought it was pretty funny. Trace, that's all right, wasn't it? You good with that? Carrie, you good? Carrie said, I'm like Glenna. No, man, that was funny, man. That was good. That's good. Some of you want to do this great big old thing. God said, no, I want you to do this little bitty thing first. And Gideon sat here, got 300 men now. I'd have been tripping. I'd have been tripping. But going back to the prison ministry, every Sunday, I get in that church. Man, I miss it, man. I get in that church van. I get Allison. She get in the front seat with me. And I go by myself. I go preach sometimes and then come by and pick her up, drive another 20 minutes out of the way, drive 45 minutes to go preach, 20 minutes to come get her, and then 45 minutes to go get a bunch of men that smelled terrible. And I loved it. Take them to church, then take them back 40 minutes down the road to eat, and then drive all the way back another 35 minutes or 40 minutes through the country to take them back. Took almost all day on Sunday. And I loved it. And I'd have people say, I'm going to do it with you so you won't have to go by yourself. I get to the parking lot to pick them up Sunday morning. Guess what? It wasn't there. And you know what? I'm telling you the truth. I said, good, I get to preach today. Because see, I couldn't preach in the churches. Anyway. But I could preach in a jail. And those guys loved it. Some of you, if I'd have waited to preach in the church, I would still be waiting to preach. Y'all hear what I'm saying? What little bit I know about preaching, I learned in the jail. I didn't learn from dignified people with titles. They wouldn't have listened to me. They still won't. I ain't getting calls all the time to come preach. My Lord, I went to a church up here about 8 months ago and scared them all to death. Man, they was like, their eyeballs just been around. I didn't talk but 5 minutes. Somebody come to me and said, I ain't never heard anybody talk like that in church. No, they said, I ain't never heard nobody preach like that in church, is what they said. But God, man. But God. And if y'all just knew what I was and what he's done. Not because of me. Y'all hear me talking? It ain't because of me. It's because of him and me just saying yes. He just wants somebody to say yes. I told Tommy the other day, he just wants somebody to say yes. Somebody that's dumb enough or whatever you want to call it, crazy enough, just to say, here I am, Lord, send me. If you go to, don't do it now. They might pull it up, 1 Samuel. You got that? 1 Samuel chapter 16. David and Jonathan were friends. Jonathan was redoubtable. Jonathan was a fighter. And Jonathan one day, he's got tired of the Philistines running their mouth and doing all kind of stuff. He got his little armor bearer. You can read it later. I'm not going to worry about it. He got his little armor bearer, and he said, look, he said, I'm wanting to go over to the enemy's camp. And his armor bearer looked at him like, "What? Why you want to go to the enemy's camp? He said, I'm wanting to go over there. Basically, this is my redneck English. I'm wanting to go over there and fight somebody. He said, everybody else is sitting around doing nothing. You ever feel that way? Everybody else is sitting around doing nothing. He said, I want to go fight somebody. So his armor bearer looked at him and said, whatever you want to do, I'm with you. And Jonathan said this. He said, let's go see whether the Lord is with us or he's not. He said, if he's with us, good. If he's not, not so good. He said, but the Lord is able to save by many or few. Who is it? The army says we just need a few good men? They didn't come up with that. Somebody read that in the Bible. We just need a few good men and women. I'm going to say something. Some of you men ain't going to like it, but I don't care. We take it up after church or whatever. We'll talk. If we had some men to step up like our women are stepping up, boy, we're going to see a Holy Ghost revival. I done made all my brothers mine. Hallelujah. Y'all like Paul Harvey? I'm going to give you the rest of the story. Next week, the Lord willing, he may change it. And if he does, I'm good with it. Are you willing to trust God? You willing to go fight? No matter who's with you? See, some of you, man, this is true because I've had it. Some of you, your family is your biggest opposition. You would think your family, when he blew the horn the first time and all those thousands came, they're ready to go until it come crunch time. There's a lot of people that's going to tell you, hey, I'm with you, man. I got your back. Yeah, they got your back till something happens. Can I tell you something? Don't ever forget this. God's always got your back as long as you're doing what he says to do. Don't think you can stray out of his will and go do what you want to do and do whatever you want to do and he's got your back. Now, he don't have your back then. He says he don't have to have your back then. When you're walking according to his will and his way, he's got your back. You out on your own, he ain't got your back. You may think everything's going good, and then sooner or later it's going to flop. So before the axe hits the root, just turn to him. Amen? Come on, Tommy. I had fun today. I love to teach God's word and preach God's word and just watch him move. One of these days, man, I'm going to ask him just to let me start calling people out in a good way. And just have you stand up and let me say, hey, God's doing this. But see, when you do that, then other people get jealous. You didn't call me out. Well, if I called out sin, you'd be saying, don't call me out. I used to go to churches. Todd, you probably remember Troy Beaver and some of them. Hey, great Church of God evangelist. And son, you know, you went there, you better be prayed up because they call your butt out. I seen them do it, man. Glenn was like tripping in there. I was like, call me out. Tell me. I was, man. I was like, tell me. Face something in me, man. I want it gone. Call me out, bro. And Glenn's back, you're crazy. He ain't calling me. I don't even want to see me. She didn't have sin in her life. She didn't want to get called out. I'm like, me. Hey, man, if you ain't got nothing to hide, me. Oh, y'all stand with me. You're redoubtable, church. If you're saved, you're redoubtable. You're a mighty man and woman of God. And listen to me, not everybody you align with, you're supposed to be aligned with, okay? And God don't want you to be living in Harod. He don't want you trembling and being fearful. Okay? He wants you to be a mighty man of valor. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for a moving of your spirit today. Thank you for your word. God, there's greatness in this room. I know it. It's because of you. You don't make junk. You make masterpieces. There's some masterpieces in front of me. God, I told you this the other day out on the porch. I feel like the luckiest man in the world. I get to see what you're doing. I get to hear what you're doing. And I'm grateful. And all the glory belongs to you. You have helped me so much. I am nothing without you, Lord. Help us to say yes. Help us to hear your voice, Lord. Help us to stay focused, laser focused on what you're doing, because Smith Bigglesworth and some of these guys, Lester Summerall, there's some stuff popping up about them now. And I remember watching Lester Summerall, one of your greatest men of God, in my opinion, give a word about the last day revival. It's coming. And it was going to be the greatest revival that's ever taken place. And then we're going home. And I don't mean home to 663 Clark's Creek Road. I mean home to be with you. And then we're going to come back. We're going to kick the devil's tail. We're going to wipe this earth out. And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. No more sickness. No more pain. No more tears. No more heartache. My goodness, who would not want that? But you got to be willing to pay a price. Oh, the gift is free. This gift of salvation is free. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. But the very next verse says that we were created for good works. So you show me a man that's saved, he's going to work for you. Lord, continue to move. Straight up, continue to move. I know there's some in here that's praying and praying and praying. Lord, you told us not to get weary in well-doing. But we're going to reap a harvest if we faint not. God, I pray for strength for the intercessors in this church. I pray for strength for them because I know in my knower that if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be seeing a move of God and we wouldn't see a revival. The worshipers in the house, give them strength, Lord. Help them to be undignified. Not to bring attention to themselves, but to bring attention to what you've done in their life. God, I can't answer or speak for any other church on the face of this earth, but I can speak for this church because I'm the pastor. And God, I'm telling you right now, do whatever you want to do. Shake, rattle, and roll. Do whatever you want to do. And Lord, we're gonna roll with you. We want and desire to see your hand move in this place. So we say yes. No matter how many is with us, no matter how many goes with us, no matter how many you pick to go with us, if it's just a small remnant like Gideon had, or if you fill this place to thousands like we was talking about last week, we're fine. I'm fine. I'm going to preach to who you bring me. I'm going to love on them, and I'm going to try to help them grow to be the best men and women of God, the children of God. We're going to put things in place to teach our children and bless them. And we're going to go out, Lord, of this church building and go out in the community and love those that others don't love and reach those that others deem unreachable. We're going to equip the saints to do the work of the gospel. And Lord, when you come back, we're going to be found faithful. Our banner is going to be held high. You're going to have no problem picking us out. Because you're going to look and you say, that's my redoubtable group right there. That's the group that wouldn't stop, that wouldn't give up. In Jesus' name. Church, listen to me. Don't think he ain't going to do that. He knows his. The word says, I know mine. I know who are mine. He's cheering us on. There's a great crowd or cloud of witnesses that's cheering us on, man. They're rooting for us. Saying, don't give up. I know it gets tiresome. I praise God that he's raised up some people in here to just keep me fired up. He keeps giving confirmation. I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm bouncing around here like a ping pong ball. I'm thankful for what God's doing. If you're in this room this morning, if you do not know, if you died right now, that you go to heaven, then you need to give your life to Jesus. I'm not going to say a prayer for you as far as leading you into a prayer of salvation, but all you got to do is call out on the name of the Lord. You got to repent of your sins. You do have to repent of your sins and be sorry for your sins and ask the Lord to come into your heart and not only be your Lord and save you, but be your Savior and your Lord of your life. When we truly give our life to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in, we lose our rights to control anything. He controls it all. But the awesome thing is, he knows everything. He knows what we need, what we don't need, who we need around us, who we don't need around us. He protects us. If you're not saved, please give your life to Christ. If you're struggling with some things, the victory's yours. Because in Jesus, it's only victory. It's only victory. There's no defeat in Jesus. As Tommy sings, if you need to come pray about anything, if you want to come make things right with the Lord, or you just want to, you know, just come back to the Lord, come back to your first love, whatever, these altars are open. Nobody's going to mess with you. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you. But this is your time with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Oh, yes, it will.
Remind him of his promises, church.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail, no. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet.
Hallelujah. Church, he's never failed us. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to start with you. You hear me? He's not going to start with you. He's not going to leave you out. You say yes. You say yes to the Spirit filling you and moving in your life. You be obedient to what God calls you to do. And I promise you, you're in for the ride of your life. It's the best thing you'll ever do. And I just feel in my spirit that someone is saying, well, when I clean this up or when I stop this, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, Lord. I've been telling you I'm going to do it. No, you won't. No, you won't. He's saying, come to me now. Come to me now. Whoever you are, and you know who you are, you don't bargain with him, please. When he's drawing you, that's when it's your time. Not because you're ready, he's ready. And the Spirit don't always strive with a man. The Word says that. None of us are promised another chance, another opportunity. None of us are. You just say yes. He'll clean you up. He'll clean you. If you guys say, hey, listen, when I come to the Lord, I was a mess. I was a mess. Most of us was. I don't know. Well, they ain't nobody ever was good enough. But sure, I'm sure. Now, my mom was, she was like, she didn't do all these things that we call sin, but she was a sinner. She was lost without Jesus. So don't think you're going to clean up. Nobody has. Nobody has. You might have quit this or that and then. But I promise you, no matter how clean you come to him, it ain't clean enough without his blood. Without the cross of Jesus, you can't be clean enough. So quit struggling. Quit fighting. Surrender. Just surrender. And then he's going to put his Spirit inside of you. and you're going to become redoubtable. You're going to become one that the enemy greatly fears. Lord, that's what I pray for this congregation again, to be redoubtable. One that the enemy greatly fears. If God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, I send them out walking in victory, Lord. Singing the praises of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, we're the head and not the tail. We're the victor and not the victim. There's victory in Jesus all the time. We love you and we give you praise for what you've done today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love you guys with all my heart. I'll see you Wednesday night. Don't miss Wednesday night. It's going to be good. So y'all come. Visitors, welcome. Oh, what are we? They raising their hand. Okay. But visitors, don't forget, we got church Wednesday night if you guys want to come. Hang on. We got something else. Bertha's coming up. Raymond. He wanted to. This is my girl here. Raymond is an awesome man.
This is my husband. The doctors have told him that he's blind. But I know for certain that the devil is a liar. He is a liar because the Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. But sometimes we listen to the devil. And he says, you have arthritis, you have heart attack, you have all kinds of sickness that the devil has brought on us. But you know what? He is a liar. And you have to understand that when you see him as a liar, he is a liar. And the Bible says that he has been defeated. The price that Jesus paid for us, he was not easy. And sometimes I think that God hear her because his children is a bunch of cowards. Because we have to stand up for what is right and speak to the enemy in the eyes and says, you are a liar, devil. You have been defeated. I defeat you in the cross. And that's why we have to see the enemy. And I want you guys to pray for my husband that he will receive his sight. Because let me tell you something. I need this man. I want to go to Mexico to tell the people about Jesus. And I need this man for respect that they can see that I'm not by myself. That I have a husband, and I need his company, and I need him to be healed. That way he can be with me and preach the gospel. So if you don't mind, can you agree with me that God will open his eyes, the devil is a liar, and my husband is not blind? In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. If you've been healed before, you can come up here. I know that this, you come up here or you can stretch your hands forth, whatever. And I want, if you've been healed before, you got to do it again. And his word says that by his stripes, we are healed. So I want you to pray in faith right now. Father, we come to you for Raymond, Lord. We come to you for healing. We watched you open the blind eyes, Lord. You've done that before, God. And I pray in Jesus' name that the scales that are on his eyes would come down, Lord, in Jesus' name. That you would give him 20/20 vision. That the doctors would scratch their head in amazement at what you've done, Lord. Lord, you're the author and the finisher of his faith, not anybody else. So God, we claim healing. By your stripes we're healed. The same blood that saves us is the same blood that heals us, Lord. By your stripes on your back, you were wounded for our transgressions, Lord. You were stricken, Lord, so that we could be healed, Lord. And so in Jesus' name, I pray over Raymond right now, God. May the prayer of faith, you said if we would lay hands on the sick and we'd pray for them that they shall recover. You said that, Lord, in your word. And so, Lord, we remind you of your promises that we've been talking about. So, Lord, touch him and heal him, Lord. And for Sister Bertha, Lord, minister to her. Open up doors of opportunity for her to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in his last days. May revival go wherever she goes and wherever he goes, Lord. She needs him. And God, use him. Bless him, Lord, and heal his body. Heal his eyes, Lord. Give him new eyes. Whatever it is that you've got to do. In Jesus' name, you do a work that only you can do. You're the God of the impossible. No matter what the doctors say, we love them and we appreciate them and respect them. But God, you're the healer. And healers trump what anybody else says. So God, I give you praise for it. By faith, Lord, we've prayed. We've prayed by faith, Lord, and accept our prayer through faith. And Lord, let your word be manifested in his eyes in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We believe it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I love you guys, and I'll see you Wednesday night. Come expecting. Amen. God's moving. Come expecting. Thank you, Jesus.
Time moves in rhythm with his